Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about love. Is it a four-letter word? Is it something that you disdain from here to there? Is it something you hang hearts around your house all the time? Are you waiting for flowers and candy to come to the door? Is it something you always justify from someone else and you say, I'm waiting for it to come. Where is it? It has to come with bells and whistles, and it's the way I want it to be. What do we do when it starts to drift away? Change, morph, grow older, get a few wrinkles, and just does not appear as that young romantic love, even in our older years. What does it change to? Maybe love is really just a journey. Love is the name on the door that we enter to find things about our soul and our spirit. What do you think? It's really about love. I think sometimes people say, this is the way it is. I love you forever. I put all of these quantifications and qualifications on things. And what happens is, those are really tether lines. Those are things that I want it to appear as my perception. And don't ever stray. What happens then? My guest today is Brian Jory. His book is Cupid on Trial. Isn't that what we just did? We just took the word love and we said, oh, look at all of these different shades of it. Now I really don't know what it's all about. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
You know, thank you for having me on. I really am looking forward to this conversation. I think there's so much to talk about when we talk about love and the meaning of love and how it helps us through life and how it slows us down at times.
Right. I think, Brian, don't you think my intro, you know, it's like, is it, what is it? Is it a four-letter word or a name on the door, right?
Well, that's how I started out, Cupid on Trial, is I wanted to answer the question, what is love today in, right, you know, the 21st century? And I've studied love and relationships and romance and sexuality all my adult life. It's really all I've ever done. And I teach classes in it, and I'm also a therapist. So I wanted this, I had noticed through the years, couples change, their issues change. The things that draw them together are different than they were 20 or 30 years ago. The things that divide them are different than they were, you know, a couple generations ago. So I wanted to take a current view and look at real couples, and that's what I've done here, is ask the question, what is love in contemporary times? And of course, we have all kinds of things that many people didn't have. You know, the way we meet is different. Most people meet on dating apps now, where they have to go on and set up a profile and show at least one picture, sometimes more than one picture, and they have to learn how to use those dating apps. And each one works a little bit differently. Each one has a different function for who you want to meet. For example, one that's for older people now that's come out recently is called Lumen, L-U-M-E-N. And it's, you have to be 50 or older to use that dating app. And it's really a good one for people who don't want to be getting messages from 35-year-olds or 25-year-olds. Of course, there's the classic Tinder dating app that kids have been using for quite a while. They call it the hookup app. But my experience with it is most of the people that use that are not really hooking up. They're looking for a relationship that's for the long haul and good to go. There's out there dating apps like Plenty of Fish and Bumble. each one's different, but that's the way we meet these days. And you can learn a lot about a person, too, when you first, you know, meet them and find out who they are. You go on their Facebook page and sculpt their pictures and see what they do. And it's amazing all of the information we have about a person before we even meet them in today's age.
Don't you think, Brian, too, is that really isn't love just the door to be able to say, I'm willing to engage with someone else on a different level? In other words, people say that love is this something that's going to fix you, make you whole, bring you to a whole other concept in your life or whatever, and you can't live without a kind of idea, when really it's almost about in a different level of engagement. It's almost saying, I trust you, I am willing to go on a different dance, or I'm able to say I'm willing to be just a little bit more vulnerable, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's I think of love as consisting of three elements. One is passion, of course. We all know about that when we're in our teens, 20s, and 30s. But another leg of it that's really critical is intimacy. Really being able to open up, share your life with another person, talk to them about what you really feel, things you wouldn't share with other people. Let them into your head, your heart, and your mind. And of course, eventually many people make a commitment, like this is, we're a couple now, this is what we do, we're right. not like other people. This is more than a friendship. It's something deeper, something that we hope will make us whole and make us better people.
People don't learn from that, or they don't grow within that.
Right.
Don't you think that trust, though, like that's almost like the word trust. It's almost like I wrote a paper one time and says, trust is a noose. Is sometimes when people say, I'm trusting you to keep my secrets, I am trusting you to not spill who I really am. Do you know what I mean? So you almost told another person at a victim point where, you know how that is when we see this with abuse, we see this with a lot of things that are going on in homes, and people say, you know, is it, but I trust you, and they hold it over your head, yes?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's even, we think it's trusting people to not see us for who we really are. We really, right. a lot of people go into a relationship with the idea of this is a person who's going to make me whole. And that right. means they're not going to see all of me that other people can see so obviously. And sometimes that's mm-hmm. a good thing because it means that they love me and they're not going to be constantly bringing up my faults or projecting back to me. But it feeds into what I call our romantic scripts. You know, we still have these ideas deep inside us about, you know, Prince Charming, Cinderella,
right.
and we think, oh, if I meet the right person, the slipper fits. I'm mm-hmm. going to be made whole by this person. And, you know, no other person can make you whole. You have to do that for yourself. They can help you with it. They can support right. you in it and be part of it and appreciate your wholeness. But if you're broken, you mm-hmm. know, and suffering with traumas and disappointments in life and struggling with things that you probably should have left behind a long time ago, you know, another person can't be your therapist. I often tell people that. It's like, you know, your lover is not your therapist. That's
mm-hmm.
healing is a part of it. The word therapy in Greek, it means healing. And therapy is a part of it because they help you with the hurts, but they don't do major surgery. So
right.
Sometimes people have to realize you've got to get past the script that's running in your head. If you've got a set idea about how a woman is supposed to act in a relationship, that she's supposed to take care of the house, or that she's supposed to take care of the children, cook the food, buy my clothes for me. You know, that's a script you may be playing against her. And if you're a woman and you think, well, he's supposed to pay all the bills. He's supposed to make sure this works, so that doesn't work. You know, you're laying a trip on that person. So I often, when you talked about the dance, I think that love nowadays is creating your own dance, opening yourself up to a person for who they really are, not who you want them to be, not who you were taught as a child they're supposed to be, but really taking them for who they are. That's, to me, the essence of love, is acceptance and trust, forgiving them for what they're not, even forgiving them for when they make a mistake. There's a line in my book that I truly love where a woman says about her husband, he made a mistake, but that doesn't mean that he is a mistake. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Right, because isn't it always, too, about the idea that they're on the journey of exploration in this life? In other words, you don't get someone to love and then the world is hunky-dory and you have everything set in a template and it just plays out till you're, you know, your older years or your decades or whatever. In other words, love is really the template itself that allows you to play out through all of the things, you know, that you will come up in life. It's not that it's the seal on the envelope, you know what I mean? And especially we see this now where a lot of people are really growing. There's a lot of spiritualism, consciousness, and everything in the world, and people are saying, I just don't get it, but I know I'm not taking it anymore. I'm not into that. I'm ready to move on. And they say, but someone had said to me at one time, but they said, but you love them, don't you? And it was like, wow, what you just did was you just said that that is the condition, you know? In other words, are we living a conditional love or an unconditional love?
Right. Well, I do think that is part of the modern love, is there was a time when you didn't get a say in how the relationship worked necessarily because, you know, divorce was not an easy thing. And we still have countries in the world, even some fairly modern countries, that don't really have divorce. We have that in America. And for some people, you know, that's not the best thing. We wish we could bring the divorce rate down. But other people, like, divorce is a freedom. I look at it this way, that when you all the time I question my students in my classroom. I'm a college professor. And they all say, oh, it's unconditional, absolutely. But I'm like, yeah, but what if he beats the crap out of you? Oh, no, no, that's off. You know, that's it. Well, what if she has an affair? Oh, no, that's over. I'm like, so you do have conditions. I think the condition thing is a good thing because we know you don't have to take anything another person dishes out. But the other side to that is you do have to work through those issues and just getting out of a relationship, which is what we have right now. A lot of people think, well, if I'm not happy in it, I'm just going to get out of it. Or they dream of getting out of it, even if they don't actually do it. And they view that as the solution. And what they don't realize is, well, it didn't really solve anything because you either went on to another person with a whole new set of problems or maybe the same old problems, or maybe you don't go on to anyone. Among older people, the biggest thing that we see with relationships is they don't really have depth of relationship. Many of them are alone. We're seeing an increase in later age divorce. I know a couple in their mid to late 70s, they just divorced after 40 years together. And you think, what a long... I think maybe they think there's somebody else out there for them. But increasingly people are believing that, oh, it's my last chance. This is my last chance to be happy. I would say, you know, you shouldn't be unhappy, but work on your happiness. Don't think that just changing your partner is going to create happiness for you. It might make your life actually worse. So I'm a big person that believes in taking personal responsibility and being honest with yourself about who you are, your own, what you bring to a relationship that someone else can love. I'm a big believer in, do you love yourself? If you don't love yourself, and if you can't find a way to love yourself and adore yourself, it's going to be hard for someone else to adore you. And I love the word adoration. It's kind of an old-fashioned word nowadays, but I think when you love someone, you do truly look at that person and get good feelings. Yeah, maybe they're not the butterfly sexual, you know, I want to jump on your bones feelings you had when you were 25, but you do look at that person and project something good into them, and they feel that. When you're with somebody who loves you, you know, really loves you and cares about you and wants to be with you, it's a transformation of your life. It's what gives you power every day to get up. Yes, some of it comes from higher power, the universe, from God, whatever your spiritual beliefs are. I do believe that love is a very spiritual matter. I don't see how people who have absolutely no spirituality can navigate the waters of love and adoration. But I do think if you have that and you could share it with another person, I mean, that's the way to happiness as far as I'm concerned. And I'm saying that based off my many years of research and working with couples and so on. And I'm certainly not one of those people who thinks, oh, I know everything about it. In fact, I'll give away the ending of my book. The ending of my book is, I very foolishly thought I could define love at the beginning of this book, but I was
right.
A fool.
Well, you know, I think sometimes, like I said, like love seems to be the four letters that it's an umbrella. It's an umbrella of all of these other quantifying things. Is how can I experience trust, or how can I experience compassion, or intimacy, or touch, or all of these different things. And I think as we go through life, it evolves. You know, I see a lot of elders now who they will stay with whoever they're with. If they're over the age of 60, they're going to stay with them. The reason is because there's way too much, way too many lonely people these days, and they're like, there's no way. What am I going to do, just sit in my house? You know, and they will just coexist. And I think that's sometimes the point where they will say, yes, I do have unconditional love. I mean, I understand them, and I see them as a person, but I'm not in love with them. I think in love and love is definitely two different things, and also the conditional or the unconditional. But also, too, we see it, we say, can we just honor the other person to exist in your same space and allow them to be who they are? That kind of takes away that people will say, well, don't you love them? And it's like, that just doesn't even fit into the game anymore, don't you think, as you get older?
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Couples are like roommates, and they each have their own separate routines, and they each know the other's routines. But as far as any depth of connection or attachment, It's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that's one of the saddest things that can happen, you know, because when you are married or in a committed relationship with a person that you don't love and you know they don't love you, that seems like a prison to me. I mean, it's like you're going through the motions of life, but you're not really living. And we learned in the 2010 census, I don't know if your listeners know this or not, but we learned something new. There has been a change. We have more people in the Western world living alone than ever before in recorded history. That was from the U.S. Census. And some of that is because younger people are living alone before they marry, but a large percentage of that is older people who are, the divorce rate is high even among older people. And of course, they may have lost their partner to death, their husband or wife to death. And so we've got to really face that, that loneliness is the big issue of the 21st century. Too many
and
people
also
are living
longer is a big situation too.
Yes,
because we are living longer now, you know, and spouses may or may not be, you know, as you said, separating, but they also too may be, one may be in a nursing home and another may be at home, or one may have passed away early and or not. So it really has increased that on the other end too, don't you think?
Yes, and I think that was sort of I wanted to imply that, that when you lose a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to live longer and longer than ever before. And there's a sadness with that. Now, most people think, well, I have my children. Well, we also see a trend that children are not there for their parents as they age. And that is, to me, so hard to look at and see that, you know, children who have taken so much from their parents are as millennials and as they reach middle age, not interested in giving back and to their parents. I think these are issues we as a society have to look at and find solutions for. How do we keep, how do we take care of our elderly and who are vulnerable, who are lonely, who do need things that we don't even think about sometimes. So, yeah, love is so many things. It's woven into the fabric of our life. It spans the universe. It's always there. It's always available. But so many people have a hard time pulling it inside themselves, claiming it for themselves. And I admit, it's, we live in a very lonely time, I believe. With all of the technology we have, you'd think that people would be more connected than ever before. Okay, so you can be connected with your grandchildren through Facebook, but they may live on the other coast. They may live in a state far away. That's a good, you've got Facebook and you can connect with them. But you may be on a day-to-day going through your day, waking up alone, eating lunch alone, you know, eating your dinner alone if you eat anything. So loneliness and being alone is the opposite of love. In fact, I'm working on a second book. My first book was about love and attaching and falling in love and maintaining love and taking care of the love you have. But I've started a new book that I've given it the working title, Eleanor Rigby Speaks Out on Being Alone. Because you remember the line, Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came.
Right.
To me, that's the thing we as a society have to address. And we as individuals, you know, because sometimes we bring that loneliness on ourselves. We cut people off because we don't like the way they talk or we don't like their habits. You know, we don't like the same activities they do. So we just sort of let people go. And, of course, as we live longer, you're letting more and more and more people go. And pretty soon you find yourself alone. In Cupid on Trial, the book I wrote, several of the people in the book find themselves alone. Very often, they brought that on themselves through their own behavior, and sometimes it was just foisted onto them. You know, when you love another person, and you've built your life around them, and you're dedicated to that person, and they pull down the veil for whatever reason, let the feelings go, step out of the commitment to you, you know, that's imposed loneliness and alienation on you. And many people just never get over that. I work with a lot of people. For example, one woman, who her husband died 8 years ago. She's not over that at all. She thinks about him every day, all day. She's sort of stuck at that very point in her life. And I think the key to being happy as you age is taking every day as a new day. Every day you can, you know, create a new dream for yourself. Take that dream, even no matter what it is, even if it's a small step, to make yourself happy and to try to be happy. That's part of love too. You know, nobody wants to love a person who's unhappy. Because you're draining the energy out of that person. So that's why we're seeing a lot of disconnectivity in relationships of like, well, you know, I can't have anybody in my life that's got baggage, you know, or they develop an illness. Now they're work. And, you know, another issue we have to deal with is our own selfishness. You know, we don't let people, you know, we don't let people build up their accounts. We kind of live in an age where, what have you done for me lately? You might have, your partner might have sacrificed a large part of their life to you, for you. But they're thinking, what have you done for me lately? And but we have to get over these kinds of human thinking that are really working against us and making us less happy. By looking at the positive, by remembering what this person did. Now, I did a study once, Doctor, of abusive men. And one of the things I could easily learn about them, I learned a lot, is their way of thinking, is that they keep tabs and they forget all of the things that their partner did for them, their wife. And they remember everything that they didn't like. Right. So they're accumulating all of the things they don't like and forgetting the good. That's a habitual way of thinking. And, of course, they're unhappy and they're aggressive and abusive. And, you know, you can't – how do you deal with a person like that? Well, you've got to get them to change the way they think.
Don't you think, though, also, Brian, is that those generations are now starting to phase out as the older generations leave? And I think what we really see in the older generations of past is that they said, you know, you get married to someone and you, quote, love them and you're going to stay with them till the end, no matter what. And now millennials are saying, they're touching, feeling, seeking, and checking things out. And they're saying, is this love? Ooh, that doesn't feel right. Is that love? Oh, that doesn't feel right. Is that love? You know, I don't know. And so, in other words, they're out there exploring their everything about their spiritual being, their physical being, their human being, where elders are pretty much they were stuck into a paradigm and they weren't able to get loose of it. So I think as those older generations phase away, even the conversation we're having today probably in 5 years will be obsolete because people will say, I really don't know what you're talking about. I've never experienced that. Well, of course you haven't because it's fallen away already. You know. So I think the idea of can we see how love can be is the idea is that if love is a journey, it is not a moment in time. It is not a peg in the wheel. It is a journey of a life of experience. Then and only then are we able to say, well, then I'll go along the journey with you and what does it encompass? That is really the key versus saying, you know, I'm going to, quote, have love, and this is the way it's going to be. And as you see us today is how we will always be, and don't dare you shake that tree. You know, that's two different
paradigms, but I
think the old is going, right?
Dr. Jeanette, I like the way you put it, and that's why I wrote Cupid on Trial. I call the old way, that old paradigm you're referring to. The old paradigm is you found the right person to marry, and you married him, and then you, quote, settled down to hibernate. I like that metaphor because that is kind of like now we're just going to fall asleep on one another, take one another for granted, and it'll just go on and on and on and on. We won't change things. No, the world moves too fast nowadays. And so the younger people realize you take the journey, you get on the train ride together. You don't always know where, in fact, you never know where it's going to go. It's an adventure.
Yeah.
Life is, and life in general, but also love it per se, it's a journey. It's an adventure. You take the good with the bad. You deal with the issues so that you can keep moving forward. And I do think that younger couples are much more thinking that way. Yeah, I'm sure they are. Now, a lot of them are also thinking, if I don't like the person I'm on the journey with, well, I can leave them, drop them off, you know, in a city along the route.
Right.
Well, you can do that. But, you know, you're also losing somebody that's been with you for a while. You have a history with that person. They know you. They know your experiences. And so there's a certain security to that. And maybe you're going to be on your own now. At the time, you might think, oh, that's going to be great because I can do anything I want. Unfortunately, you know, you can do anything you want, but, you know, it's not as much fun to go to the symphony by yourself. It's not fun to go out and go to a movie by yourself. It's not fun to eat lunch by yourself. So more and more, I hope to see that couples up their commitment to one another and trust and recognize that love is part of the fabric of our lives. It's interwoven with everything we do, and it's the way we're meant to be. We really are meant to care for ourselves, but to care about another person. Now, too many people do this. They think too much about how they're being treated and not enough about how they're treating their partner. And that's the way I framed Cupid on Trial, is in the preface, or page one, I actually asked the question. Reflect on this. What if you woke up tomorrow morning and you were transformed into your partner? Would you want to be your partner, knowing how you treat them? Are you the kind of person that is lovable? And try to get people thinking more about what they're giving out and less about what's coming their way from their partner. If we would all do that, I have no doubts but what our abilities to love are limitless if we take personal responsibility to do that.
Is not perhaps the millennials not taking a journey to the love that we saw with Tether Lines? Are they not taking a journey towards more compassion and empathy, which will lead down the line to unconditional love? So are they not really in a higher level of experience versus what we had in the past? Because when, yes, we can leave people off, we could also do with compassion. We can still have compassion for someone. We could still feel kindness. We can still learn how to help others. And in a way, it takes it off of, I'm going to live my life with just two people or four people or whatever it is. It really expands you into a more global and a more worldly view of, you have those feelings for more people, the people you work with, the people you see on the train, the person you see crossing the street. So really, it's expanding that concept of love, of whatever that might be, to include all of these other things versus saying, this is what your picture is. I mean, how many times do we see people, they always pull out that wedding picture, you know, from eons ago and saying, oh, yeah, I want that back. I want what that is. Well, that was an illusion, you know.
Right.
You're now in a reality. What is your reality for this moment? So the answer is that are we living a life of illusion all the time, or are we potentially creating a new reality?
Dr. Jeanette, you and I think alike on this, because I do think that we are living in an age where, because of the connectivity with other people on other continents and all around the planet, we are becoming far more aware of what it means to be a human being, not just what it means to be a man or a woman in the small little place where I live, the tiny town or whatever. We're learning that people come in many shapes. Reality comes to us in new ways. And I think millennials are of course, getting that because they've grown up with that kind of view of the world. What I see is people shrinking as they age. It's like they try to hang on to the past. You know, if you're trying to hang on to what you had 20 years ago or even, you know, 20 months ago, every day is a new day. And I think that, you know, real love, true love, the kind of love that builds you up and builds you, the people around you up, the people you love, it's expansive. It's connected. It's not in a tiny little place inside you where you're shrinking and shrinking. It's letting go of the past. Who cares what happened 40 years ago? What am I dealing with today? And how can I make today a good day for myself? How can I make it a good day for the people around me? And that's a choice. I mean, we all have to make that choice every day. Sure, you can't be upbeat every day, all the time. That would be living in denial. But you can make the choice, hey, I have to take what comes my way and deal with it and make the best of it and look on the bright side of the things that happen to me and generate happiness from within myself. And you do that for yourself, but also for the people around you.
Right. Yeah, it's really about when people say the word love, I think what they're really asking for is that I'd like to experience being cared for, being heard, and being present, and being that I'm seen. And once those few needs are met, I think, you know, the sky is the limit wherever you would take that journey, don't you think?
Yes, but I also would say, add this to what you said, Dr. Jeanette, and that is, are we thinking enough about, are you seeing? Are you caring for the people around you?
Right.
Are you lifting them up? Because often we're not doing that for others, but we're waiting for them to do that for us. And that's a lose-lose proposition when you've got even one in a relationship or one person in a family doing that. Because it's hard to care about another person who doesn't care back. You know, it's going to all be going one direction. So that's my message for people is, you know, look at yourself. Think about how you want to be loved, but think about how you can love the people around you, the little things you can do. We have this kind of a, I don't know if you call it a mantra, but it's errant mantra, and that is you can't make another person happy.
Right.
I find that to be absurd and irrational. We make other people happy all the time if we want to, and you could see it on their faces. And you know, sure, if a person's experiencing a major depression or a chronic trauma, the PTSD or something like that, yes, they may need professional help. But generally speaking, you know, we can make those people around us happier. And that's our job. That's why we're in this world. I think everybody should know, why was I born? What am I in this world to do? Why am I getting up today out of this bed? What is in front of me today that I can latch on to make myself happier, to love more, to care more about myself and other people? If everybody would just do that, Now, I know it's easier said than done, but
but
I do address some of the main issues in my book about, you know, through the characters. Believe me, some of the characters in my book have far greater problems than the average person, and yet they find ways to address those issues, and that's right. Part of what the reader comes away with is like, you know, I got to start thinking outside of the box. I've got to start taking more personal responsibility. I've got to start being a better communicator of what I need and what I want, but I've got to be a better listener, more empathic and empathetic to the people around me. Try to understand what they're dealing with as well.
Right. It's all about being willing to engage with others versus seeing yourself as a silo. I always say this, are you living a silo life, you know, S-I-L-O, and are you just existing as such, and or are you really becoming engaged with the world around you, because it's really all part of one, and that's really what really will feed you, nourish you, and I mean, we go out in the sun, and the sun nourishes us with its warmth, you know. Another person, you look at them, and they smile. Well, they nourished you with their compassion, you know. Or another person, if you're in pain, they reach out and they put their hand on your hand. That's another engagement, that of healing touch. So there's a lot out there. I think the idea that love has to be defined as the four-letter word is really a shortchanging it sometimes, you know. Almost if you could kick that word to the curb and say, what is your journey of experience right now? Mm-hmm. Maybe that seems to open more doors when you're really at the trouble line. So I think sometimes when people say, well, I don't have love anymore, I can't find it, I'll say, okay, well, let's not talk about that at all. Let's talk about something else. And if you talk about the qualities of your life or the concepts or the perceptions, maybe that will take you toward a life that you will say, you know what, I never experienced that or had that conversation, and now I can see how much fuller my life is, yes?
Yes, but I would also say, you may say, well, I can't find love, but you can create love in your heart, and that love begins by loving yourself. It's amazing to me how many people, if you say, why were you born? Why are you on this earth? What is your mission in life? They can't even answer that question. So you think, well, you need to give that some thought, because you're here for a reason. And part of being happy in life is understanding what your reason is. Now, that reason is something you make up yourself. That's one of the freedoms we have as human beings, is we create our own lives. And we can't let other people, you know, take away from us, you know, because there's a lot of negativity in the world, and there's a lot of things that happen to people that sound horrible, and they are. And we're all carrying scars and hurts and traumas and things, disappointments. But, you know, you can't let them define who you are, those things. You've got to get on the higher side of yourself and love yourself. And if you love yourself, that's going to help you engage. And your engagement is going to be on a positive note with the people that you love.
Right.
So it's not just about finding people to love. It's loving the people who are all around you. And that's you creating love.
Yeah.
So.
And it's definitely, I think, a time to say, what was is phasing out, and isn't it great to be on that journey? Because I'll tell you, if we look at some of the elders and we say, we hold some people up and we say, we'd love to have a life like them. Well, maybe you wouldn't if you really knew the truth of it. So I think the idea of, you know, let's create it for yourself, whatever it is for yourself, because it really is an individual experience, right?
Mm-hmm. I sometimes ask people, both in therapy or in my classes or whatever, if you could change one thing about your life to make it better, and you could do that today, what would it be?
Right.
It doesn't have to be a major thing. It could be a small thing. But what would you change? And I get people to thinking about it. And I think, so tomorrow morning when you wake up, that thing is changed. You're a different person. You're a new person. You can act any way you choose to. Yes, you're not going. You have limitations, but within those limitations, you can be the person you choose to be. Boy, when you get people thinking like that, that's taking personal responsibility. That's engaging, and just that one question alone can really change the course, the trajectory of a person's life. And I'm a big believer that you don't set the trajectory of your life when you're 20 years old and sail it all the way to 80s and 90s. When you can be 70 years old, 80 years old, you still have to get up in the morning and say to yourself, what am I here for? Mm-hmm. You know, and what mission do I have today? I'm a very big believer that we live life one day at a time. We don't live it 80 or 90 years at a time. We live it mm-hmm. one day at a time. Now, sure, kids don't right. have all the choices. But as an adult, we have to make choices. How will I live my life today? It's the process that we use to build ourselves up and to build other people around us up. To me, that's creating love around you. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think, Brian, we had to come up with something new because I'll tell you, if we look back just within the last 100 years, people were dying at a much younger age, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yes.
And now if we have to double and triple that and you're saying, oh, well, I take you and I love you now. And you're saying, oh, for three lifetimes? I don't think so, you know. And I think a lot of times if we say, you know, hey, if we just start to conceptually look at that and say, well, maybe I think I'd like a little shift change here and there and say, you know mm-hmm. what, I'm okay with that. You know, I think,
right.
Brian, when we talked today, we really took the idea and the concept of love and chose to do a little different dance with it and say, you know what, maybe there are some different things to this word. And maybe we could say, you know, I haven't really thought about that. So it's really a great idea to sometimes look at the concepts and the beliefs that we have and say, are they willing to be challenged, changed, or reframed? And that's what we did today, yes?
Yes, and I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to talk with you, Dr. Jeanette. It's been really a good conversation for me, and I hope it's been good for you and your listeners.
Oh, it sure was. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you and about your book, too? That would be wonderful.
Sure. They can go to Brian Jory, PhD, on Facebook. They can go to brianjory.com. That's my webpage. I'm also on Twitter, Brian Jory. I'm also on Instagram. That's Young People's Pictures website, but I'd love to hear from some of your listeners, and I hope that they'll go out and learn more about some of what I do and what I stand for and what I believe in, and hopefully it will be something that makes them feel better about themselves and about their own lives.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure to have you because I think sometimes people say, I'm stuck in the old concepts, and you know what? I really need to be able to break out. We've given them some options. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like to find out more information about Brian Jory, again, click on the link on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to his website, and you find out more information about his book, Cupid on Trial. And it really is that if something isn't working, ask questions, check things out. So you know what? The way I thought about it in the past, maybe I can expand my journey and my experience and say I'd like to maybe check out a few other things and say, you know what? I don't have to be stuck in this. The world is not cement. It is all about being able to evolve. It is being able to experience and to enjoy the life you're in. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.